Off top, it's illegal to play football or baseball in Pennsylvania on Sundays. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What's up, Charlie? How are you guys? Your computer doing? Apparently, you soaked it in some fizzy drinks.
Yeah, we'll find out. We are not sponsored by Topo Chico, but if you want to sponsor us after I spilled 16 ounces of your delightful mineral water all over my laptop, that would be a great consolation prize. But yes. We'll see. It's tented and it's drying out, so TBD. Well,
I believe in your computer's ability to heal itself, just like I believe in ayahuasca's ability to heal Aaron Rodgers. Check out that segue. So I'm weirdly becoming a Aaron Rodgers defender. And so there's two things that are Aaron Rodgers related. One, he went on McAfee and he kind of insinuated that he'd be willing to leave the Packers, which on its face is outrageous, given that he signed a huge deal. And it seems that they've been doing everything they can do to capitulate to his every whim. And that part of their issue, or part of the reason why they lost Adams, was because Aaron was taking time to decide, which I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. That's a bit confusing to me because, but whatever, it doesn't matter. We can go ahead and say that that's fact for the sake of this conversation. So that's one thing about Aaron Rodgers. And then this Men's Health article was also really interesting. The writer kind of put all the anti-vax type stuff at the end, and he did a great job of making me like sympathize with Aaron Rodgers throughout it and like think he's a good guy who's just trying to figure it out. And it just read to me like a man with no kids and a lot of money, which is clearly what he is, where it's just like it's just a constant search, which I don't mean that with any judgment, but it just felt like when you have these, you have certain things in your life that just kind of give you meaning, I guess. You don't necessarily need to look for it in the way that Aaron is looking for, but that's not fair. It feels like Aaron has found it. It just wasn't what we thought. And it's, I'm in complete support of anybody. We've had conversations a bit about religion in the past, and I put astrology in that same kind of category, and in that sometimes people need these sorts of things to, which I don't judge them for. It's fine. It gives them some peace, gives them some understanding, gives them the illusion of control. And also, like I talked about this with Ashley on a Tuesday show about how like I appreciate that we go to church regularly now, and it's not because like I'm devoutly religious, but it forces into my life like some meditation, moments of meditation. And it also forces you to kind of step out of your life sometimes and take a look at the big picture and reassess and understand that however stressful your week was, or however great your week was, or however bad your week was, it just is like one little dot in the whole scape of the world. And I feel like that's all Aaron is doing. He's just using unusual tattoos and drugs in the forest to get there, and it's fine. So what about the article? Or I mean, at some point we'll get back to the McAfee comments, because I find that incredibly interesting, because I'm on the opposite side of literally everyone on earth, it feels like, of that, because I'm on Aaron's side. I think what he said and did was fine. But is there anything in the article that jumped out to you?
I don't think the article itself didn't really break new ground to me. The thing about Aaron Rodgers is the way that I feel about him, when I hear him talk sometimes or I see his quotes, I find the way he's talking more sympathetic than what he's actually saying.
Hold on, time out. I think that reading Aaron Rodgers is much better than listening to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yes. Because when you're watching him in that Mac, if anybody's seen it, by all means, take a look at it. He just comes across as so smug and arrogant. Anyway, go ahead.
I think I said that backwards, by the way. But you, to your, I agree with you completely. that sometimes when I like listen to him, I find him very smug and dismissive. And you can see the little grin where he's like, oh, I'm going to F with the media here and there. And then no matter what he says, I usually take the other side.
Yeah.
But to me, this also sounded like an athlete where he has come to grips with the fact that he's really great at this and it takes a lot of work, but it's not the most important thing in his life. And I found that to be the most relatable thing is like everyone plays sports when they're a kid because it's awesome and being good at sports makes you really cool. And then you get older and you realize that people care less and less and there's more to who you are. So that was sort of my big takeaway from his men's health piece. And I found that to be very easy to connect with. You probably connect with that far more than I do, but I found that very easy to like understand where he's coming from.
Absolutely connect with it. I'm surprised though that, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised now because he's been willing to share, but he's not the only athlete who like comes to grips with the idea that their sport is not the most important thing in their life. But most of them know better than to say it publicly because no one wants to hear that or accept that.
It's also in stark contrast to Tom Brady. That's the thing. And that, but that's when you look at aging quarterbacks, when you look at the decision tree every single offseason that these organizations are held hostage by, it's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And one of them is a, you know, football obsessed snake oil salesman. The other one is a conspiracy theory obsessed snake oil salesman. So you get the exact opposite ends of the spectrum. And we're led to think that Tom Brady's view is more altruistic and that he's like pulling every drop of talent out of his body. But I don't know which one is the more healthy view of football. I truly don't. Because I
do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers. It seems like
his is like a weird extreme also.
Oh, no, they're both weird extremes. This is in a binary world.
Yes.
Like, it's amazing, like, all the things around Tom Brady that we don't, like, judge. Right. Like, and they all seem so direct, like the bad things or some of the difficult things in his life seem directly tied to his obsession with the game. And we just count Super Bowls and be like, oh, he's winning.
And to your point, yeah, the way we view him as winning, it's also, it's beyond that. Guys like me, people who didn't play sports, what everyone tells themselves is I would do it like Tom Brady. If I had the talent, I would get every... This is the same people who couldn't be bothered to do, you know, even touch the line running suicides their entire life, have convinced themselves they would be Tom Brady.
That's the best part. I had a conversation with, like, not really a friend, but somebody I see pretty often a couple days ago that was kind of similar to that. And he was complaining about basketball players. I think it was on the heels of Trae Young having some other situation where he just, he wasn't like proper. This is before the most recent Hawks story, but it was like just about Trae Young when he got benched. And it was like, I wouldn't do it like that. I mean, you're getting it's just all the stuff that we hear all the time. It's like, you're getting paid a bunch of money to play a game, which, like, yeah, I get it. It's a great life. But imagining what you would be like in your 20s. With endless talent and endless cash, it's like a wonder. And then, like,
much better haircut.
That's fair. But I mean, in that situation, I thought Trae Young, what was going on with him was normal. And then he handled it so professionally when he had his interviews afterwards. And that's just it. I don't know how we ended up on Trae Young. I'll pull us back in to the Aaron Rodgers conversation. But I find all that interesting and funny. And let's move on to the McAfee part of it. Well, I guess it's not the McAfee part of it. It's the...
They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because I think they work with his, you know, vision quest of his late 30s.
So he said that he is good enough to be an MVP again, and he's not sure if it needs to be in Green Bay. And everyone's up in arms because how could he say something like this? No one should be surprised. He says wild things all the time. But the position that I took is... And after that, he kind of made it clear that what they need to do is give his boy some money, which, like, I respect wholeheartedly. He ride for his dogs, and I love that. He's like,
that was the one part I didn't like. That was the only part I didn't like. Yeah,
that's the best part. He was riding for his dudes. He was like, and to me, maybe that speaks to the fact that championships aren't the most important. But he's like, you know what's important? My friends. Bring Mercedes back. Bring Randall back. Give him all a stack of cash. I loved it.
So that was like, to me, that was like the game of chicken, because it was so incongruent with the rest of what he said. Because if he's trying to bring back Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard, that's not upgrading the roster to get to the point where he can win the Super Bowl, which is what he said he needs to do. Or what's the point of it? Yeah. So like that, I was like, okay, one of these, something has to give here. Because if they do either one of your plans, you're going to find a way to be mad at the organization because they didn't fulfill all of your wants and needs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But I guess the way that I viewed it is Aaron Rodgers, this is again, I feel like I bring up my union experience a lot lately, but this is from my union experience. Football players at some point in their life realize that they are no longer on a team and they are in a business.
Yeah.
It happened for me in college when my freshman year, they burned my red shirt at the end of the season. We won the ACC championship. We went to the Orange Bowl. When we got back,
didn't go great.
Yeah, we got destroyed by Florida. But it was a great season, surprising season. Yeah. That was the second game we lost all year. When we got back, our coach, Ralph Friedgen, he got back and they had Cadillacs in the parking lot. All the coaches had gotten a deal with Cadillac. And then the following season, and we got a bag of sweatshirts that said Orange Bowl on them. And I think we got a DVD player. The next season, I think we lost two games. We had another great year. After that year, Coach Friedgen went on a bunch of interviews. We got a bag of shit that said Gator Bowl on it. And we destroyed West Virginia in the Gator Bowl. And that's when I was kind of like, and then through all this process, I'm watching how some guys are getting escorted out because they aren't good enough. And they're like, your scholarship is now revoked. And I'm starting to realize this ain't a team anymore. Like, it feels like a team sometimes, but it also feels like a business. And so what I learned from like my union experience is that happens for all players at a certain point. Quarterbacks are late.
Yeah.
Because quarterbacks are treated special, especially top quarterbacks are treated special, and they feel like they are part of an organization. And when I was in the union, the quarterbacks were the toughest people to like work with because they felt like they were closer to management than the rest of us. And right. So when we're in our like caucuses with just players and we're talking about the things that we want and what we're going to fight for and how much we're willing to sacrifice, they're like, either not showing up or like, I don't know about that. Like, it's real. They're mighty nice to us until they learn. And when Peyton Manning messed up his back, he learned. Drew Brees was he learned early because when he messed up his shoulder with the Chargers, they sent him packing. And Aaron Rodgers learned when he had a couple rough seasons in a row, they went and drafted somebody on his ass. And so that's what I took from this. This is a person who like knows that right now that this is not an organization that actually, and he would have thought that he would have learned it when he took Brett Favre's job, but no, he's the new love interest and he feels different. Go ahead. You have something to say?
No. I just like, to me, I think the organization is still treating him special. They're paying him $58 million next year. They Gutekunst and LaFleur wanted to meet with him. They want to get him weapons. They ended up with Christian Watson and Dobbs. And what he actually said, if you like look at his quotes, to me, the rest of the quotes made like perfect sense to me. I can win the MVP in the right situation. Duh. Like none of these football players win MVP in the wrong situation. Like we were talking about that with Jalen Hurts earlier in the season.
The implication was, and not implication, he said outright that he doesn't know if it's there.
Yeah. But that's pressure. That's pressure to sign better players and use their draft picks.
Right. So that's the point. That's the point I'm making is they're not treating him special. They're treating him like a player who has a lot of value.
Okay.
And I think that's the point that I'm making is so many quarterbacks think that they are being treated special because they are special. You're getting treated special because your talent is special. And once your talent is no longer special, they go draft Aaron Rodgers on your ass. They go draft Jordan Love on your ass. And then, like, it's the LeBron model. It's like, I don't trust any of you, and I shouldn't. So I'm going to use whatever leverage I have. And that's all I took that as, is him, like, doing whatever he can. And so that's like, that's why this morning, and I guess it's yesterday morning now when you guys are listening on Get Up, I'm listening to people who are like, man, I gave you so much money and you're a jerk, show up to camp and do it. Like, stop. It's like, no, you don't get it. They don't give a shit about him.
Well, I also think he's somewhat aligned with the organization. Him putting the pressure on the organization to try and win a Super Bowl during the late prime window is what the smart organization should be trying to do, especially if they don't know if Jordan Love's a sure thing afterwards, because it could take a long time to get back there. So I didn't read this as him doing anything wrong. The other thing that, you know, the football guys on Twitter were saying, he should want to win Super Bowls, not the MVP. And I was like, this is, of all the Aaron Rodgers things he said, of Mr. Cancel Culture Casket, of Mr. Immunize, you're upset because he wants to play at an MVP level again after he had the worst season of his career. That is so logical to think of yourself in that moment, in the level you can reach.
That's that's one of those things where you just don't like Aaron Rodgers. And so you got to dissect whatever he says and find something to disagree with it on. But I don't know. We got playoff football to talk about, so we don't spend too much time on Aaron Rodgers. And it looks like you have a koala with a tennis racket on your shirt. So
that's right.
At some point, we're doing some Aussie Open talk probably at the end of this podcast. So let's get to these playoff games before we get to some tennis.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Which one you want to start with?
We got to start with Bills Bengals. Yeah. I mean, it's the game that didn't happen. And it's like, you know, it's definitely the most interesting matchup this weekend. But, and I this is a big but, doesn't it feel to you like both of these teams are in a worse spot than they were 3 weeks ago when they were supposed to play Monday Night Football?
Absolutely. Like, they don't. So I don't know if that's true of the Bills as much as it is of the Bengals. I mean, I guess the Bills lost Damar Hamlin, so that certainly, but that certainly weakens that team. They are supposed to be getting Poirier back soon too, which I think will help their depth at safety. But I think the first thing that comes to my mind is obviously Damar Hamlin, the reason why they didn't finish that last game. And from what I understand, I think McDermott said Hamlin's been at the facility a bunch leading up to this, and it just made me think, is he going to be at the game, and how is the team going to treat it, and how is the league going to treat it, and how is the TV partner going to treat him being back at a game between the teams that, or against the team that he got, or I mean, that is caused his heart to stop on the field. Like, I don't know how to say this, but, and I don't know. It's hard for me to understand the energy around this game. Playoff level intensity is one thing, but both of those teams went through something traumatic together. So, like, it's going to be unusual for them to be back together. I think it's going to be a bit like, more like brotherly than it is like antagonistic.
Yeah. Well, here's a question that I have, and it's something we were texting about earlier. Is I said to you, I would love him to be at the game, but I don't want him to be a mascot. And you said that's impossible. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, if he wants to be at the game, is it actually bad if he sort of ends up being like a mascot and making them feel okay? Like, is that like it's weird, and the broadcast will be able to virtue signal and talk about like the strength of young men and the strength of teams and the support of them, and that stuff will all be super cringeworthy. But in a vacuum, for the game, for the players, for the fans, for DeMar Hamlin, it actually might be healthy to have him there. Yeah. And be like a, you know,
I'm going to try. This is not a New Year's resolution, but it should be, to be less cynical.
Yeah.
Because I think that my immediate response is to be like upset by that. But because
that was mine too. Yeah.
Yeah. Is to be bothered by it. But I think it probably does make a lot of people feel good. And it is a story that'll make people happy. I think and I guess I'm asking myself, like, what about it? What bothers me about it? It's that the NFL is going to try to like hold this up as something to celebrate and be proud of. Like, I think that's the thing that bothers me more than anything, is like, I would love for all of us in the country to have this great moment. I just don't want the NFL to benefit from it.
Right.
Know? Which is, that's what it
and
feels like.
You know,
like,
how they're going to treat the next DeMar Hamlin 5 years from now. Or DeMar Hamlin himself 5 years from now.
I mean, Russell Gage got carted off the field in the playoff game. And it was
after everyone turned off the game. Most people didn't know it. Exactly. Yeah, literally after the game was in hand. And that's why it's not a bigger story.
Yeah. Apparently he's doing really well. He tweeted it out that he's fine. Russell Gage, that is. But yeah, I think that's the part that's weird. But I should just let that go, because I think it's probably going to be feel good for all of us to see him at the game. And if they put the camera on him and he waves or whatever, like, everyone's just going to feel good. And it just reminds me a bit of how the NFL like rolls out the military and then is actually charging them to do like just all that, like, kind of faux, like, we're one of you type of things that the league does. But whatever, I will put my cynicism aside, and I'll shed a tear with the rest of you of joy that DeMar is fine and he's back on the field and he's strong and healthy.
And for me, it was more about the actual players themselves. Like, they both players on both teams might actually feel less awkward playing football with him there. Who knows? Maybe it'll be more awkward, but this is one of my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it less uncomfortable to talk about the game itself. So we can talk about that. I really felt strongly Cincinnati was going to win, but all until like one more offensive line injury. Yeah, it's like, and Eli Apple was banged up and their corners are weak. But the hard part is looking back at the Bills. I mean, it all comes down to Josh Allen.
I'm really disappointed in Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And straight up. Like, we've talked about Josh Allen ad nauseum on Debatable, on Get Up, on this show. And the thing that I'm actually disappointed by, coming into this year, I thought he was 1A or 1B with Mahomes. And I still think his high-end outcomes that we saw last year in the playoffs in the first couple weeks of this year are on that level because of the talent, and the talent's off the chart. But like, the decision-making and the consistency right now has been so disappointing. Like, I thought we were going to get to the playoffs. They were going to play clean football. And they were on the verge of going up 21-0 in that game. And he just wasn't that good. And I know that there will be nerds and telling me about like him driving the ball down the field and the yards per play. And we have eyeballs. He wasn't that good. I don't think he's going to be the best quarterback in this game.
Yeah. So Mahomes is on a tier all his own. Josh Allen is not as close to him as we thought he was.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Josh Allen to me is he is what we were told.
He's what we were told his ceiling would be.
Yeah, but I guess from what jumps out to me about Josh Allen is I don't know the exact quarterback comp, but I feel like at least when I was growing up, there were a lot of there were a number of super athlete quarterbacks in college who were black by and large. And we were told that they could not play the position because they could not just lean on their athleticism, and the tropes about them not being able to read defenses and all that stuff was out there. Whether it was true for one or two of them or not, doesn't matter. It was like a general kind of unfair characterization. That's who Josh Allen is, though.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is a crazy athlete who doesn't seem to want to read defenses, but it doesn't matter because he's so good. Or, not even that he doesn't want to read defenses, because I don't want to fall into the trap of suggesting that he's not smart in the same way that people did those quarterbacks, but he's just high. He's just a risk taker.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I've made this same take so many times. I don't need to defend it. It just jumps out to me as weird as the way we talk about Josh Allen has nothing like it doesn't come with those same connotations. And I read an article about him earlier today that was just talking about, essentially, it's a bunch of like untold stories from his life that they mined from a bunch of people, which some of them were interesting. But the thing that just jumped out to me is the whole chip on the shoulder thing and underestimated his whole life. I can't imagine. There was some high school assessment where he got bumped down to the bad field. Like, it just felt like a lie, honestly, because in what world does that man not, even if it was just to play tight end, do they not put him on the high field? Like, it wasn't a story from him, and I'm sure it probably is true, but I guess the scouts who went out to the sticks of California can't see, because there's no way that kid in high school was not someone that people were interested in.
I know. Well, to me, he's like, the comp I always think is like, he's actually like Brett Favre just playing modern football. Like, and like, if you look at Brett Favre's highlights, they look a lot like Josh Allen's, where he's just a complete madman throwing the ball 60 yards downfield across his body.
I mean, it's Brett Favre with Cam Newton's body, because Cam Newton was never that reckless.
No. And like, much more controlled, and he was Cam. But the other thing is, I think we all expected Josh Allen, like, he had that crazy exponential growth. Mm-hmm. And then we thought it would flatten off and be like a little bit more linear. And it's not. He had this huge spike, and that raised his floor immensely. Like, he's not Josh Allen. Are we sure he's a starting quarterback anymore? Right. He's Josh Allen, most likely future Hall of Fame quarterback, who at his top level can beat anyone on any given day.
Right.
But I thought he would incrementally continue to become an efficiency monster like he did last year in the playoffs. And that's why it's actually disappointing, because I love watching him play. I love watching the way his team plays when he's hot. And then it's incredibly disappointing when he does really dumb things and makes the games more difficult.
It's not disappointing. It's so fun. But I think you're right. He's the same person he always was. He's just doing it at a higher level. Like, he's still erratic, like a EKG monitor. Is that what that is? When you go, like, he's still that. It's just early in his career, he was that in the CD range. Now he's that in the A to C range, where he's just like up and down between there. All right. So, and Joe Burrow seems like kind of the opposite, where he's like gotten so much better at making decisions.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's figured out how to attack the two high. He's figured out how to avoid sacks. He seems really comfortable in this offense. So I don't know. Are we picking, or are we just talking? What do you want?
I think this was just this was a stay away. The Bills are 4-point favorites, and I don't totally know what to do with this game. I mean, these teams had the two worst wins of wildcard weekend, which is weird to say about any playoff win, but like, they were a Snoop Huntley fumble. The Bengals were a Snoop Huntley fumble away from losing that game. And Josh Allen and the Bills tried to give that game to Skylar Thompson several times.
It was a crazy fumble, too. It wasn't just a fumble. It was a 14-point swing.
Yeah.
So, we can stay away from that game. I guess you take the points just if you were thinking it. Like, right?
Yeah.
If you can't pick, I don't know. All right. What's the next game?
All right. So we do have a couple bets. Okay. 31 and 27 on the year. First one, two team teaser. We get 6 points in each game to make the odds minus 120. The Eagles are 7.5-point favorites over the Giants. Tease that down to 1.5. And the Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites over the Jaguars. Tease that down to 2.5.
Yeah, I like that. I feel confident that the Eagles are talented enough to win that game without a completely healthy Jalen Hurts. And go ahead.
Also, doesn't it feel to you like the Giants and the Jaguars won their Super Bowl last week.
Yeah, it did. I mean, the Giants getting into the playoffs was like an achievement considering where they started. And the same is true for the Jags. And they both had really impressive wins for different reasons last week. Really impressive wins against opponents that were flawed, but respectable opponents. But yeah, they're not expecting much after this. You're right. If there is some emotional reservoir, they emptied it.
Yeah.
They emptied it on the field, and whatever was left, they shook out in the celebration afterwards.
And both teams, both coaching staffs have to be like incredibly reassured that they're able to win a high leverage game. Like it just genuinely doesn't feel as high stakes for them as it does for the other playoff teams. Which is weird because if either one of them upset one of these teams, it'd be a massive story, but it just feels out of reach. Next one, Dak over 1.5 touchdowns, passing touchdowns. I just think that they're playing the 49ers. We know the 49ers are going to score, or most likely going to score, unless Purdy starts shitting the bed. I feel like Dak, coming off as the best playoff game of his career, is going to keep slinging it.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to hard-pressed to get me to argue against Dak. As much as I love this 49ers defense, I do believe that Dak, he could get 2 touchdowns to get this. How many did he throw against them last year? Because they didn't score that many points last year. I mean, it's a whole different team now. I'm not sure that should impact our betting, but yeah, if he threw 4 last week, I think it's reasonable to guess that he might throw 2 this week, the way Dalton Schultz is playing, and CeeDee Lamb might just give him one, the way that Debo Samuels does for anybody who's playing quarterback for 49ers.
Also, like, the odds are, even if the 49ers play a really good game defensively, there's still a very good chance that the Cowboys will score 2 touchdowns. Just with the amount of possessions and how fast the 49ers are scoring also. So
I like it. 2 bets. We were 3-1 last week. We're good at this.
One more. Jerick McKinnon, over 56.5 combined rushing and receiving yards.
You gotta give me the logic behind this. What's your rationale, the reasoning?
Because he has been really good. He's playing 2 or 3 downs in the Chiefs' backfield. And I assume they're going to try and run it up against the Jaguars. That's my logic, okay. Is that he's going to get a lot of dump offs. Last week he had not that many, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with that offense and with that quarterback that anybody can have the big game. I know Patrick Mahomes is going to have a big game. I feel strongly about that. But who ends up with it? And I guess you could argue also McKinnon's going to get a good number of carries. If we believe that the Chiefs get out to a good lead, he might get 56.
I wanted to look at Mahomes' line, but it was 346 yards. And I was like, that's just patently absurd. Yeah, I can't bet on that because he could have an awesome game with 320 yards.
Yeah, he could. And I can't in good conscience bet the under for Patrick Mahomes on anything. So,
yeah. So let's stay away from this one.
Yeah, I don't like the McKinnon bet. Get it out of my face.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right. Aussie Open?
Yeah, Aussie Open.
Let's do it. I saw that my man, I looked it up a little bit. I watched the highlights of Rafa, which we'll get to, but shout out Francis TFO. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
He's only dropped one set in two matches, and I think he's playing later on today, on Thursday.
I want to get your live reaction on something, because okay. I want you to see his outfit at the Australian Open, because he's gotten a lot of praise and scorn online in the tennis fan community. I'm sending it to you right now. Sorry, I'm filibustering.
No problem.
And I love it, but I think you're really going to love it.
Just came through. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I love it. It's outstanding. Why could it? Who has a problem with it? It's not Wimbledon. It's Aussie Open. Get sexy. A little psychedelic sexy fit. Do your thing, Francis.
It's exactly right. He, I think some people just don't get fashion.
And that's, you
that's
do.
The big problem. And you that's do. Right. And I do. I mean, he also came out. He had the Beats that had the same pattern on it. The shoes are painted with the same pattern, too. So it's great.
I love it. I love it. All right. So your man Rafa's out. Are you upset?
Yeah, I was sad. I was sad. This match ended at like 2 a.m. last night, and I was sort of sadly watching it alone on mute on my phone in bed. But so he pulled his hip flexor, or we don't know the damage. He injured his left hip in the second set. And it's sad because it seems like this is the end for our sweet balding prince. Every time he plays for more than a couple hours, he gets injured. Like last year, he had the dying bone in his foot, and he had to keep getting like wave therapy treatments to kill the nerve so he could play. And then he tore his abdomen or tore muscle in his an abdominal muscle. And now he's injured his hip. And he was sort of the last bridge to an era with Federer, with these like likable great players, because Djokovic is a lot less fun to watch and a lot less compelling. And it seems like until Alcaraz gets healthy, we're going to have an easy run for Djokovic through the big tournaments. And it's just sort of a bummer for the best or second best player of all time to go out injured.
I was going to ask you to explain Alcaraz to me, but you just did. He's hurt.
Yeah. He pulled his hamstring. It's actually kind of sucks. He was playing a 15-year-old American in a practice match and slipped on the court like 2 days before the Australian Open and pulled his hamstring.
Alcaraz is one of the few like super athletes in tennis that actually look forward to watching. So it's too bad.
How bad do you think that 15-year-old feels? He's training at the same academy as Alcaraz, and they're playing a practice set.
He feels great. It's not his fault. He didn't push him down. So I'm going to write a letter to, I don't know who, Joe Biden maybe, because somehow you watched an American beat Nadal and shed a tear in bed.
I mean,
I want your citizenship revoked, USA.
Very happy for Mackie McDonald, who was kicking his ass before the hip injury also. So
I love it. Mackie Mac all the way to the final. Let's do it, Mackie Mac. All right, Charlie, we're out of here. I appreciate you. Awesome as always. Thanks, Christina Buswell, Adi Khan, Sarah Abbott. See y'all next week.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.